travels through a kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom on this beautiful sunny Sunday evening. It's myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 o'clock as always. And let me know what you got up to with this beautiful weather. I noticed there was a good few communions on around the county, and of course the Kerry Games brought people out too, and all the better to enjoy it with the sun. So let me know what you got up to. Did you go out for any of the games? Did you go to the game? Did you have any occasions, christenings, communions, whatnot? Let me know what you got up to. I went back to Derrymore Beach to enjoy the weather, and it was absolutely blissful. So hopefully the month of June can offer as many beach trips as possible. And even saying the month of June, I can't believe this is the last Sunday of May already. I feel like this year has gone so fast in the blink of an eye. As always, you can contact us on our usual text lines. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300, or you can email me kflynn@radiokerry.ie, and that's the letter K as well. But on with tonight's programme. We are going to hear from Robert Carter and Charles Terrell about the first Arts Expedition at Grills Gallery in Cloraglen. We will hear a short feature from the students of Kerry College, Radio Broadcasting and Digital Journalism, produced about the 6 degrees of generations. And as always, we will delve into the archive of Sean Hurley. But first on tonight's programme, we are going to hear from the genius behind the magazine, Kerry Gems. I keep mentioning the book over the last few weeks, as there's just so much that tells you what is here in the county, and I just find there's so many hidden gems as well, and I suppose that's where he really gets his name, isn't it? So I caught up with Karen Tarrant to tell us all about how Kerry Gems came about and where it all began.
Hello, my name is Kevin Tarrant. I'm from Killarney, born and raised in Killarney, and I've been publishing Kerry Gems for the last, over 30 years, but I originally started with a magazine called Outdoor Kerry back in 1986, and that ran for a number of years then, and then in 1989 we changed over then to Kerry Gems. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a bit about Outdoor Kerry. What's the story behind that?
Well, Outdoor Kerry started because at the time I was involved in a number of outdoor pursuit clubs and organisations like Kerry Mountain Rescue, Killarney Mountaineering Club, there was an orienteering club, there was the kayaking, there was the Deer Society, all these different organisations. And the problem was that on any weekend you didn't know what was happening, because you had so many different calendars from each club and they came out at different times of the year, so you'd have to filter through these. So with a few friends there, we came up with an idea of putting all the calendars together. We said if all the groups had their AGM at Christmas and brought out their calendar in January, that we'd publish all the calendars then in one little booklet. So we did the first Outdoor Kerry, and we took all the calendars and then we put the events in order, so you could pick up the calendar. Then it was a slim little booklet, mm-hmm. and you could look at any weekend and you could see, you know, the Nature Conservation were having something, there was a bird watch tour on it, there was maybe a bit of some orienteering or mountaineering or whatever it was, but you could see at a glance what was happening that particular mm-hmm. weekend. So it was really handy. And
it does, because you even see the mobile numbers there as well if you want to.
Yeah, we had all the information on the clubs and everything else, and you know, it's something that could be done today again, you know, to organise it so that anyone could pick up. Like, you could do it online now, mm. very handy. And just any weekend, that if someone is free and there's visitors down or whatever, like that, they can look and they can say, look, there's orienteering on in Sunday now, or, you know, in Ross Island, there's a nature conservation walk on, there's Killarney Mountaineering Club are going to Knockmill Downs or whatever, and they could decide then what they want to do for the weekend. And it just showed the possibility of different events any weekend. And what happened then with that was we started putting in different articles, and there was people going going kayaking around the Faroe Islands. There was people going to the Himalayas, mountain walking and that. So we decided that, you know, we should put in these articles here and there because they were of general interest to people. Mm-hmm. So the magazine kind of expanded in, yeah. And we went to A5 first, then we went to A4. So here now you'd see there was lads out in, they were out in Tibet doing some mountaineering. You had articles by Dermot Walsh there, and about the Skelligs and the, you know, things happening there. You had an article about the destruction of Ireland's forests by the from someone from the conservation group. You'd Terry Crothers, he was a wildlife ranger in the national park. He wrote an article about birds of the mountain.
Mountain as well.
Yeah, that was Frank King, yeah. Oh, Frank was just brilliant, like, you know. He's a huge loss altogether, like, you know. So, and then we had a pull-out sheet then on navigation, and just basically explained to people how to use a compass and that, and
the mountain. So we should recheck that one again.
Yeah, that could definitely do it coming out again, yeah. So, and then we had all the events then as well, like in the pull-out sheet. So you took out the one sheet and you had all the outdoor events.
Stick it up in the fridge or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you had all the events for April, May, June, whatever month it was. And so we did that then for...
And what year was that one?
That one was now 88.
Wow.
And what happened, Kai, really, was that... We started off with a very slim little booklet. It was like just a pamphlet.
Pocket size.
A pocket size, yeah. And then it went to A5, and then it went to A4, and we put in more articles, and it got bigger and bigger, and burst. just burst. Because the problem was that we had a lot of organisations that were involved in it, but a lot of people were coming to different organisations. Like this, myself now, for example, I was in the Killarney Mountaineering Club, I was in the rescue team, I was in the conservation group, that, and there was a lot of others like me. So the potential readership was about... I suppose about 1,500, and it really wasn't enough to sustain it. So I was on a tour of North Kerry that was organised by Sean Quinlan from North Kerry Museum, and I was saying to my uncle Paddy Kennelly of Kerry's Eye that I was thinking of finishing up with it because really it had kind of... it wasn't viable, you know. So so he suggested doing a tourist guidebook. And we thought about it and we discussed it, and by the time we came back into Tralee that evening, we had the whole thing organised and planned out, and he came up with the name Kerry Gems, and he was him really that had the whole idea of the concept. So he made up, or he got the lads, his own lads there, to make up a mock-up of what it would look like, and we put in fictitious ads into it. And I went off selling ads then, and I started in Killarney, and I didn't do great, I must admit, though. And I went up to Michael Rosny, above in the Great Southern, he was manager there at the time, and Michael said he'd take an ad if Jim Feeney, who was manager of the Park of the Great Southern, would go in as well. They'd take an ad between them. So I went around the ring then the following day, and I called Jim Feeney, and he said no, he wasn't really interested. So actually, in all the Reef Kerry, I didn't get a single ad. Not one.
No.
Not one. I came home late that night with nothing. And then I went to Dingle after that, and I didn't do a whole pile better either, because there was unfortunately for me, there was a lad from Killarney had gone back, and he was selling business cards and that, and he took a lot of deposits and disappeared.
Oh,
so
no.
Yeah, so when they heard I was from Killarney, kind of the door was closed in my face, like a kind of a flat nose after the day, and so that was kind of that finished me there for a while. So I went back up to Michael Rosny, and I said, "Look, says Michael, I said, Jim Feeney isn't interested in going in." I said, "But so And I said to myself, going up the steps at a sudden, I said, if he's going to pull out now, I'm just going to forget it. It's not going to happen, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I went up and he said, I'll go in myself. So I said to myself, well, geez, I'd have to go again and have another go at it, because I said, when he's interested, like, and he said, that's one head anyway, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went off around again, and my second time around, I was a bit more successful. I got a few, and it gradually started. And so we started with a 12-page booklet. This was the one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. July 89.
July 89, yeah. And it was very cleverly done by lads in Kerry's Eye there. It was actually one sheet that was folded over, and it became 12 sheets then, stapled.
Yeah.
So we started with that. We did 10,000 an issue, but we were doing four issues a season. So that was July. So there was one, like, we had we'd four issues each tourist season. So, but it was hectic, because I was kind of writing the stuff for one and doing the photographs, trying to distribute the previous one, trying to collect in the money, trying to get the next one organised. And Kerry's Eye were saying, like, come on, let's have the next one. We needed to get it printed. So it was chaotic. And I was working with Aircom at the time, so there was a lot of late nights and everything, trying to keep the thing going. And we did that for a number of years. And then what happened then was I met Jerry Kennelly of Kerry's Eye as well, and Jerry said to me, why don't you do the one book for the year? And he introduced me to Peter Staunton, a lad from Mayo. He was a great graphic designer. He is a great graphic designer. He's still doing great graphic design. He did the logos there and the crest for the Kerry jersey there recently.
Mm-hmm.
But he introduced me to Peter, and Peter said to me, do you know what you'll do now? He said, bring over all the books you have on tourism in Ireland. So I put them all into a box, I brought them over, and we went through them. And he said, which ones impress you most? And there was two that really stood out. There was a Reader's Digest book of Ireland, and it was really good in that it has, you know, a section on Kerry. And then the next, in between that and the next county, they'd have a double page on Irish whiskey. And then you'd have another county, and then there was something else on Irish culture or dancing or whatever. And it was a really nice book, that, and the Darling Kinsley book on Ireland. We had the two of those were really good. So that's what we based it on then.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter came up with the design, and we worked with Peter then for a number of years. And there was another lad that Jerry introduced me to as well, was Richard Gallagher. He was with the Irish Press. And so you were two really top people, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I'd say to, like, anyone starting a business, like, is you need to be able to do things yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's, like, hard to depend on others, you see, when you want something done quick.
Well, it is. And the other thing as well is, like, they don't have the passion that you have for it, like, you know.
Yeah.
And like, there's no one looks after your own business like yourself, you know. And we, like, that's what we decided, like, that. So I started doing graphic design and started getting involved in it. Like, when we started originally, I mean, it's hard to believe now, but I started with a copy book. And I was writing the stories, and I had a couple of friends of mine who used to write stories as well about different historical things or whatever. And then I'd drive over to Tralee, and I'd type it up then on the small little Apple computer over.
Yeah.
And then they'd give me a printout, then we'd do the corrections. So I was over and back to Tralee, like,
yeah.
Like, talk about carbon footprint. Like, this. I was just, there was no end to it. And then I got an Amstrad computer. I don't know if you remember those. You'll probably they'd be way before your time altogether. Yeah, but the Amstrad was it was a great boost to us, because it was our first computer. But it was only, you know, you could only have text in it. You just had this green text on a black background. And
I think I've seen them in movies. All right.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, way back. Yeah, but that was a bit of a boost in that we could type up the stuff and edit it, like, you know, and then I could bring the type stuff over to Tralee. But and then, like, we've eventually moved on to Apple then, and got more and more into the graphic design ourselves, which was which was great. Then we had control of it then. So
yeah. And I suppose you've missed it over the last 2 years that there was the gap.
Do you know, if I was to be totally honest, I didn't. I remember, like, the last, when we were very lucky, actually, someone was praying for us, because we actually had it at the printers in 2020, and it was just about to be printed, and then Patrick's Day came, and for some reason, everything stalled, and then the hotel started closing that day and the following day, and we decided we'd pull it. And so it's... but, like... You know, you're doing something for so many years, and I've had the same same feedback now from different people. You know, when you're working at something year in, year out, and you just have the head down, and you're just like the hamster and the wheel, like you're just going round and round, and all of a sudden someone sticks something into the wheel, like, and it doesn't move, and it stops, and you just stop and look around. And I must say, now I enjoyed the break for the last 2 years.
Well, I suppose you looked at things differently as well, and how you
publish. It's like, like, what's important in life and that as well, you know. But no, having said that, I think it's great to have something to get out of bed for as well. Yeah. And, you know, and it was great to get back at it. And, you know, people were so good to us. Like, I mean, they hadn't advertised with us for 2 years, and the vast majority of them came back and supported us again, which was great, like, because things have changed, the world has changed and everything else, and you have the internet now and social media. Mm. But still, you see, I suppose, thankfully, in places like South Kerry and West Kerry, that the internet and broadband, and that, you know, isn't always great, like, you know.
And you can always rely on a book.
Yeah, see, the book, like, yeah, if you're in somebody's place, even parts of Killarney, you know, if you're out in Muckross, like, and you're using, trying to get maps up on your phone, like, the reception isn't great, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can open Kerry Gems and all your maps are there, like, and all the information is there, and it's organised and it's concise. Mm-hmm. So... so that, and for people coming into the county, I think, you know, when they look through Kerry Gems, like, you say, like, we have an unbelievable county, like, it's just incredible, like,
we're very lucky with what we have.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, you take the scenery, like, that we have, like, the coastal scenery in Killarney, and you take the historical sites we have. I mean, you've over 2,000 in the Dingle Peninsula alone, like, you have the culture, the writers, you know, with the music, like, there's just, there's one thing about Kerry Gems, like, you're never ever stuck for something to write about, like.
True.
Like, there's always so much stuff that I can't get in, like, but it is just an amazing county, like, you know. Mm-hmm.
And that was Kevin Tarrant of Kerry Gems speaking with me over the month about his very famous Kerry Gems magazine. And we still have a few here in the Radio Kerry building. I think there's 3 left in reception. If anyone wants to grab any, send me an email or send me a text so I can mind them for you. The text is 083 300 3300, or email kflynn@radiokerry.ie, and I can put those away for you, so they won't all go at once anyway. But just looking at the Kerry Gems book as well, while I was just listening back to that interview, there's a few pieces here, and it's just, there's a bit of everything in it. You know, you can go to Venetia Island, for example, is the page I have opened at the moment, or it tells you all about the Dingle Peninsula. There's Tralee, Killarney, there's the Ring of Kerry, and then you have all these, like, little fun facts. So here's one. And he has it titled "Not All Bad: Vikings Raided, Traded and Integrated in Kerry. Vikings burials and offerings have been found in a cave near Tralee. The find included the Viking silver, which is pictured here to the right, and it's in the Kerry Museum, and it looks, I suppose it kind of looks like a cheese grater, but it definitely isn't. But it does look very interesting. But back to the Vikings, they settled in Ballylongford and English Island in Venetia Harbour, and Vikings introduced coinage, new trade routes, and founded Dublin, Limerick, Cork and Waterford cities. So, I mean, just all these little fun facts as well. There's another one here now. Where's my page? Spot a moth. The six-spot burnet moth is a day flying and can be seen in the sand dunes in summer. After its long winter hibernation, it feeds on the nectar of thistles, knapweed and grassland flowers. I'd never heard of knapweed actually before. And where's this other one I saw as well? It's just, they're nice little fun facts in it. I mean, you're learning a bit more about the, you know, the county, what's around here and whatnot. And then you have all these little fun facts as well. And this is the one that I was actually smiling at earlier. The first Kerrymen, a Stone Age hunter-gatherer settlement, was discovered at Ferriter's Cove, Dingle. The site uncovered the oldest evidence of cattle in Ireland. And that was going to 4,600 to 3,900 BCE. So, yeah, all these little fun facts, you know, they're just incredible to have. And it's all in a book. How many pages is this book? 126. So there's so much that you can do, and there's so much variety. And as I said, if you just wanted to go on a day trip around Kerry, open that book and you'll see so much here as well. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back with more on Travels Through a Kingdom after these.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom with me, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 o'clock this evening. During the week, actually, I was down in Sneem on Tuesday. I went down Sneem and Kinmare, and I have to say, I thought Sneem was a lot smaller, but it's actually fabulous down there. It's a real, like, you just kind of feel like you're in a different county altogether. I felt like I was, you know when you just feel like you're not at home, you know, holidaying in your own county, you kind of feel like, is it the same as feeling like you're away? But it definitely was. And there was just so much there, and there was a beautiful bookshop, there was lovely cafes, and they had a really nice river as well. And it was actually quite cool, because when you walked over the bridge and you look down, you can actually see the river. So obviously me being very afraid of heights was very nervous of that. I think my biggest fear actually is my phone falling out of my pocket and it just going down into the river. So it wouldn't be the first time it's happened. I've dropped it, I think, when the lockdown restrictions was 5k last year, and they went up, you know, that we could kind of travel out again. I decided to go up Strachan, and I said, you know, I'd go or whatever. And for some reason, I took the cover off my phone and I opened the gate to go up Strachan, and my phone went flat on a rock and it smashed. So that walk cost me about €100. So you got to be sure about these things. So keep your cover on your phone as well. But what I was going to say was just Sneem and Kinmare itself, they're absolutely beautiful towns, and there is just a lovely vibe about the place. Lots of tourists around as well, and the traffic wasn't as bad, but it was midweek as well. So I suppose the weekends are a bit busier, but it was absolutely beautiful down there. So yeah, let me know if you're going anywhere around the county as well during the week, or if you have any plans as well. It'll be lovely to hear what you're getting up to. Now, Grill's Gallery in Colorgan was opened by Lucy and Robert Carter, located by the River Lough. Last weekend, they had their first of many arts expeditions, just in time before K-Fest as well, which is taking next week. But they had their friend and artist, Charles Tyrrell, showcasing hundreds of his drawings. When I say hundreds, I mean 100 of his drawings from the last 20 years. And you can see what some of them look like over on our Facebook and Instagram pages. I uploaded a picture of them earlier as well. But I caught up with Robert and Charlie to tell us all about the exhibition and the gallery.
Hi, my name's Robert Carter, and with my wife, we set up a new gallery in Kilorglin. We moved here a year ago, almost exactly, but we'd been planning the gallery for about 3 years, but of course COVID intervened, so we had to wait and wait, but we're here, and we opened last night. The gallery, what we're planning to show is prints and drawings, about 3 exhibitions a year of invited artists, and in between times Lucy and I will be silkscreen printing and showing our own work.
So tell us, what is the name of your gallery? Why did you choose Colorgan?
Well, Lucy's family is from Kilorglin, and they've been running the KRD fishery since, well, they were partners in the KRD back in 1748, I think it was. So for Lucy, it was coming home. I was very happy to move out of little England. and it's great to be here. Really love it. And Kilorglin's been really welcoming. Lots of people in the town have been really encouraging. And the local creative community as well have been, you know, really helpful, lots of advice and encouragement. Mm-hmm. So, it's good. Mm-hmm.
So the name of the gallery is Grills.
Yeah,
what
Grills.
Does that mean?
Grills is the name for a young salmon, typically a one-year-old salmon, returning from the sea to its birthplace, coming up the river. So since the gallery is next to the River Lough, Great Salmon River, it seemed a perfect name for the gallery.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And obviously you were planning that for the last 3 years, so that was something in the back of your mind, I guess.
I don't know when we came up with the name. It probably wasn't in the early days, not like when you name a rock band, which the first thing you do is decide on the name. But no, it took us a while to... because we'd been working together as graphic designers in England for 20-odd years. Mm-hmm. And we worked under the name of Lucy or Robert. So we didn't know whether we'd call this the Lucy or Robert gallery, Silkscreen Studio. Anyway, Grills popped into our heads one day, and That was
it. Ever since.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So obviously last night was your first ever expedition. How did that go?
Exhibition, yeah. It went very well. We had about 60 people, not only from Kilorglin, but a contingent from the Bearer, Charlie's friends and fellow artists, people down from Dublin and from all over the shop, actually. Mm-hmm. It was a great mix of the artistic crew and the local crew. Mm-hmm. So it's very nice.
Yeah, and Kilorglin is known for that because of the K-Fest and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. So. We exhibited in K-Fest, Lucy and I, our own work. We had about six prints up. And although we're not formally part of K-Fest this year, but we are, I think, Rochelle, Lucy, has put us in the listing as a venue to come and see.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And K-Fest is brilliant. I've never come across a similar thing. I mean, in where we used to live in England, they had Somerset Arts Weeks, which were very well organised, but distributed all over the county. But to have an arts festival based in one town, and it's quite a modest-sized town, is extraordinary. And we saw last autumn, when they had their last show, how much life it brings to the town. Thousands of visitors come just to see the art and get the buzz. It's great.
And it's an incredible way of connecting with other artists.
Indeed.
And whatnot.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Charles, I'm going to come on to yourself. So you were the chosen artist for their first expedition here. How did that feel?
It was great. It came together very, very easily because Robert and Lucy are old friends. We've been bouncing off each other. I've known them in London and then subsequently in Somerset, and we've always had this kind of nice friendship that endured. And then, of course, this was discussed, this project, and the idea of me doing something came up, and I just jumped at it. I just loved the idea of doing something with friends, something personal. And the idea we came up with was that I would show drawings, and that I would show, we pretty quickly kind of designed the concept, which is basically show a lot of drawings unframed, mounted, you know. So we have practically 100 pieces hanging out here, which is pretty remarkable. And it was also the whole idea of me showing work that I don't normally show. Like, I'm a painter primarily. I do show drawings, but it's very occasionally. But I draw a lot. And so it was really a case of taking out drawings that really just hide in my studio or in my plan chests, or there as sort of like a backup. I really like them. I take them out and they feed me and give me maybe inspire notions, but I don't work directly from them. So this was a kind of unique notion that, well, why not show a lot of these? So and it's a very personal. There's a very personal aspect to the whole thing, because in a way a lot of these drawings are quite private, insofar as I don't have any huge urge generally to show them, but this seemed like a really good opportunity with friends. And Robert and Lucy are very careful, they're very keen eyes, and I knew that we'd very easily pull off something. And
yeah. Well, I saw here in you obviously have a little leaflet to tell us about each other.
Yeah.
And you had something written here that these are like private conversations to you, your drawings.
Yes.
So how did it feel when you started to show them last night?
I kind of knew what I was doing, and we did, you know, there was a lot of editing and rooting through, so there's nothing shockingly private out there at all. You know, so it's all fairly, you know, it's fairly...
It's all abstract.
It's all abstract. What's remarkable about it is not so much any individual showing it, it's just a collection of such, the notion of showing 100 pieces in one place is startling. But I have to say their reaction has been really, really good. And I think there's something about drawing that people really respond to, and particularly unframed, so not, there's no glass in the way. And you're just completely connecting to that line to the artist. So there is it's a little bit more connected than maybe painting, you know, possibly. It's arguable that, but I think these are they connect very much to my thinking. They're almost like, I always feel they're kind of like almost like illustrations or maps of my thinking. You know, I when I look at them, I can see myself thinking this. You know, it's very tangible. You know, the thought process in some of them. You know.
And what kind of feedback did you get from people last night when they saw them?
Very good. Very good. I couldn't kind of encapsulate it all in a few sentences, but it was very positive. It was very positive, and people seemed to be kind of, it was a different sort of an exhibition. It wasn't sort of, oh yes, 10 paintings or whatever, you know. It was such a completely different display. You know, we won wall there with 30 pieces in just together, clipped to the wall. And I see this is very much, it's an installation, the whole thing, really, you know. Mm-hmm. It's one installation. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's been a joy doing it.
Definitely. Mm. I have a question for the both of you. Why should people come here to see the work at this exhibition?
You're going to ask me now.
Why do people go to art?
Well, it's art, and art is good for you. And art is revealing, and art is stimulating, and art is exciting, and it'll bring you someplace. It might reveal something. It might reveal something about yourself. It's art is an exciting encounter for people, and an important encounter.
Makes people think differently, outside the box. They encounter things that they've never imagined before, never seen before, which must be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And this exhibition is open for a while, Robert?
For 2 months, yeah, till the middle of July. Yeah.
So it'll be opened as well for the run-up of Cave Festival.
Absolutely,
which is great. I'm delighted that that's happening, because I know there'll be a lot of appreciative, interested people around, you know, so it's great that we're running concurrently. Mm-hmm. And it's also great that it's running for a long time. It's, you know, hopefully the word will get out and people will make the trip.
Yeah,
to them.
It gives people,
you know,
it's a chance.
It's a nice summer activity. Maybe head down to Glorglen and take in a bit.
And it's a beautiful location here.
It's a great location. Yeah. And there's the cafe next door and the salmon smokery next door that way. So you sit
the
by the river.
By the river.
Great.
Definitely. Well, best of luck for it. And as I said, you have 2 months of it, so I'm sure you're going to get loads of people popping by. And then you'll have a waiting list for people wanting to do their expeditions with yourself and Lucy Roberts.
Let's hope so,
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you too. Okay.
And that was Charles Thrill and Robert Carter speaking to me about the Grills Gallery Between the Lines Arts Expedition. And a big shout out and thank you to Lucy as well for being so welcoming and for sharing what the opening night was like too. It was absolutely beautiful. And even when I was there recording your interview, I don't know if you could hear in the background, there were still people visiting and stuff. So it was still plenty of time for you to go out and see that. And as I said, just in time for Cave Fest, which is next weekend. And I do hope to go out for Cave Fest as well and do some recordings and stuff. So if any of you are listening who are involved with KFest and want to get in touch, just send me an email, kflynn@radiokerry.ie, and we can work something up there as well, because I think it's just fabulous to have all these events coming back. They're just, you do just really appreciate what you have then at the end of the day. I know KFest was on later last year, but I wasn't there now myself, but I know from people's reactions and their stories, they said it was absolutely phenomenal as well. And just even the leaflet of the Charles Thrill Between the Lines for the Grills Gallery that they left as well. There's this really nice piece, and this is the way Charles puts it. Putting this show together has been an enjoyable experience. Going through folder upon folder, revisiting and reassessing. Enjoyable also knowing I was in good hands in the new Grills Gallery. Robert and Lucy are graphic artists with keen eyes who I knew would sensibly create, and they did. And there's much more of that as well. And it's just lovely as well when someone's just so passionate about their work and appreciative of what other people do for them as well. I think that's when a team really does bond as well. So now the students of Kerry College of Radio Broadcasting and Digital Journalism produced a series called 6 Degrees of Generations. On this episode, Anna Callan is a Cork native, true and true. And in this episode, she discusses a cherished family heirloom going back to the days of her grandfather.
Hello, my name is Anna Callanan, and I'm talking today about a family artefact that's been with us for a number of generations now, and it's to do with my grandfather, who was a blacksmith. His name was John Callanan. Well, my grandfather was born in 1887 and he died in 1964. He worked all his life until his 70s as a blacksmith. So I think this artefact, which is in fact one of the anvils that he used, could be about 100 years old, because his father before him was also a blacksmith. And he had that, and it's been handed down through our family. You know, there were some of those still there. So there's one still in my home place. My aunts have some. So it's a very important part of our heritage, because it brings us back to my grandfather when he was a blacksmith. And he was known as Johnny Gow, Gow being the Irish for blacksmith. And he had quite an interesting life as well. Well, the fact that these anvils have survived means a lot to our family. It's a connection with our past. It's a connection with our ancestors. And it also means that, you know, as his granddaughter and now my children, his great-grandchildren, you know, we have a connection with him, you know, through that. So even though, you know, it's a piece of... it's something that was, you know, that was used in his forge. Johnny Gow, as you were known in Timoleague, the blacksmith toiling in your forge, in the Chiart de Gowa. No electricity there as you worked from dawn to dusk, just the spark of the anvil as your skilled hands made each horseshoe, filing the hooves, fitting each shoe, soothing the horse in a gentle voice. Your daughter Claire sweeping the floor of the forge before the next horse came in. What a brave girl she was. The horses from Kilbritton Castle, who had to be shod. You went there at a time when many would not. No politics, no animosity, just being a neighbour. The parish priest walking to the forge. Conversations with Johnny Gow. Spiritual and esoteric, each together and equal in the light and gloom of the forge, as the anvil sparked and hissed. Those were the days of the blacksmith. In the forge, while his wife Hannah was collecting the eggs, Tig playing tricks and making prams for his sister's dolls. The skills of the blacksmith are gone, but Johnny Gow's legacy lives on.
That is another episode of the 6 Degrees of Generations, produced by the students of Kerry College's Radio Broadcasting and Digital Journalism course as well. And it's absolutely beautiful. And there's a few more episodes to go over the next few days as well. So do make sure you stay tuned for those here on Radio Kerry. And a course I did as well, which I absolutely loved. And if I could relive it again, I absolutely would. There were so many moments from that course that just brought me to who I am today. And just a big thank you to Joe and Connie for being my tutors, and even all my classmates. You know, we all worked together, and it was just really nice as well. So brought me right to where I am today to tell you that story as well. We're going to take a break here on Travels Through a Kingdom, and we'll be back with more after these.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And you're very welcome back to the final part of Travels Through a Kingdom on this beautiful sunny Sunday evening. Now, I bought this book there during the week as well. What's it called? Pockets of Irish Wit and Wisdom. And there's just a few funny quotes in it and whatnot. Some of them a bit dark humour, but I think a lot of us Irish people have really dark humour, which I won't be obviously reading out here on air. But there was this one little a few proverbs on life and living. And it just, I'm going to read it out to you and I'm going to tell you why this actually made me laugh so much. Don't throw away the sweepings of the bag until you checked if you dropped your ring in it, into it. Because there's a funny story at home, and my nan, if she's listening now, she's going to hate me for bringing this up, but one time she put, I feel like it was a 50 euro note in a box of matches. And she went to set the fire one evening and she didn't, I don't think she was thinking, but she threw the box of matches into the fire. And I just think it's so funny, so I'm going to show her that now when I go home. So that went with it, straight into the fire. But you know what? Plenty of money at home, I'd say. Now, it's time to go back to revisit the archive of Sean Hurley. And this week's piece is when Sean tells us about the blessing of the lilies on June the 13th.
On June the 13th each year, the ceremony of the blessing of the lilies takes place. And I spoke to you a couple of weeks back about this when they were blessed in Killarney. But how much do we know about this aged old custom? The custom originated in commemoration of a special manifestation of St. Anthony at Marcasso in Corsica during one of the revolutions there. The Franciscans were driven into exile, but their chapel remained open, and a public procession was made to it each year on the feast of that wonder worker. For this occasion, a temporary altar was raised in the centre of the main aisle. Garlands of flowers hung above the saint's head, and at his feet were placed roses and other flowers, and lilies of spotless white, and they stood against a green background of laurel and myrtle. The story goes that one year, the young man that was appointed sacristan neglected to remove the statue of St. Anthony at the conclusion of the fest, and after a lapse of several months, he went back with helpers to the deserted chapel to complete the work. And to their surprise and great joy, they found the lilies fresh and white as the day that they put them there in the first place. While on the other hand, the roses and the other floral offerings lay withered and dead around them. Another story occurred in Austria back in 1680, on the Saints' Feast as well. A fresh cut lily had been placed in the hands of the statue, and for a whole year the lily stayed as fresh and as white as the first day it was placed there. And the next year, the stem bore two lilies, which filled the whole church with their fragrance. This fact was testified to by many eyewitnesses, among whom was Don Carlo Gioli, who on August the 11th, 1681, made an official report of this miraculous event. Permission to bless lilies in honour of St. Anthony was given then by Pope Leo the 13th, and many healing miracles have been obtained down through the centuries through the intercession of St. Anthony. A little piece there on the tradition of the lilies and St. Anthony.
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley, which we take a look back here on Travis True Kingdom every Sunday evening before the show ends. And let me know if there is any piece of that that you absolutely enjoyed, because I think it's absolutely lovely to reflect on these things and look back in archive as well, because the archives are so important. You know, there's so many of them, and even just to rejog your memory and stuff like that as well. Reading in the years is a very good one as well. I love when you kind of look back in years and say, oh my God, I remember that time. I used to laugh at it before, because obviously when it was in the 90s, I had no clue, I wasn't around. But then when you start seeing that, you know, like from 2000 up, you're like, oh, I remember that. But that is almost it for tonight's show. We just got a comment in there as well from Charles, and Charles goes on to say, hi Kai, very interesting about Kerry Gems and how it started. The weather is great at the moment, helping to take my mind off Liverpool's defeat last night, but they've given us a great season. Oh, very sorry to hear about that, Charles, but you're right, it was a great season, and it was lovely to see all the smiles on the faces as well. Well, that's all that we have time for on Travis True Kingdom this Sunday evening. The programme will be podcasted shortly on our Radio Kerry website, and I'll share it on our social media pages too. And as I said before, you can listen back to all our old shows as well at any stage if you just type in radiokerry.ie and Travis True a Kingdom. And you can email me at any stage as well if you have anything on your mind, or if you're involved in KFest as well, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. Aileen Kinsella is on the way next with 7 days, looking back over the week here on Radio Kerry. And then Sean Riley is on with his Irish favourites from 8 till late. So until next Sunday, I'll talk to you then. So long a fool.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.